Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning, and happy birthday back there. I think that's worthy of a few happy birthdays throughout the day, so congratulations there. And we are in Philippians. You did not steal the passage, so that's good. We've been through that one. We are in chapter 3 this morning, but and it's good to have some Frontier students with us still this morning. I was thinking on this morning when I got up, I thought it's going to be kind of weird not having any Frontier kids with us this morning, but lo and behold, we've still got a few, and we can be praying for them. They'll be taking off for Utah to help with Key Radio out there tomorrow morning, right? So it's really exciting to see the many ministry opportunities that God gives. You guys offered one this morning to the rest of us. We've got 80 plus kids from Frontier that took off on different trips over spring break this week, and that's really neat. I was telling some of the kids earlier this week, I always have mixed emotions on spring break trips because I come from a parent side and I'm going, I can feel the parents, right, that desire for their kids to come home and just spend a week with them because they know that they're running out of time with their with their kids. And yet at the same time, it is so fun to watch them go and take those steps to go out and serve the Lord. Where he might be calling them to go and learn more about places to see if that's where God would have them serve. And so, we got 80 some kids out, and some of them left Friday during the snow, and as far as I know, they made it, so that was good. And you never know what the weather's going to be like. We got them going all across the country. Got some out in Pennsylvania, some out in Arizona, Utah, and various places. So if you think about it through the week, be sure to continue to lift them up as they go, that they might be effective in the work that they do there as well. But Philippians 3, we are, again, we're looking at this through the eye of chapter 1, verse 27, right? Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I titled this one this morning, Marks of Knowing Christ. What should be the marks on our lives of knowing Christ? And I'm going to read the passage first, and then we'll get into it. So verses 1 through 11 is what we're going to be looking at in Philippians 3. And again, I read from the New King James. Some of you might have a different version. So, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. Lord, I ask that you would guide the words that I speak this morning, that they would be from you, that you would use them in the hearts of each one of us this morning, and help us to gain what you would have to speak to us. So help us to be alert. Help us to understand what you might be teaching each of us individually, and help us to grow from that. In your son's name, amen. As we come to, again, we come to chapter 3, we looked at the verse. Paul is going to give them a little refresher course this morning, right? And on the importance of knowing Christ in the work he has done, what we believe in order to be effective in the world that is becoming more and more offensive to the message. Sounds like our world today, isn't it? More and more offended. And more, may I add to that, the more you hear from people, the more off the message gets. People that claim Christianity that really don't understand what they're even claiming, and they speak it as if they know it. And he speaks to those this morning through his in what he tells us. Many believers have become ineffective in their faith because of the pressure of the world around them. Quite frankly, it's hard to see the conduct of some believers as any different from those who don't believe. Have you ever noticed that within Christendom? Why people leave the church? Why people aren't becoming as engaged with God as they should, because they look at the church and go, they're no different than me. What are they learning? Why go on a Sunday? They're not particularly exhibiting anything different than the way I am. And I know enough about God. I know enough about Christ. I was raised in the church. I'm good. And they go off. But Paul's words this morning that we're going to look at tell us that we need to be marked by knowing Christ. There should be some marks upon us as followers of Christ. And by having these marks, we stay strong and effective in our faith. And so the first one that I want to look at this morning is one that we should be really confident in, but there's a lot of sad Christians out there. Have you ever noticed that? When you talk to Christians, it's, what would you do? I went to church on Sunday. Cool. Yeah, we had BFF on Thursday. Right? And, oh, yeah, there was this other Bible study I went to. It just filled up my week. I was just so tired all week long because all these things filled me up. And what do I do? And there's this, whoa, weighing down, right? When you get done talking to them, you're like, wow. But they're doing all the right things. You know what the first mark of a Christian is? To rejoice in the Lord. Did you see? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write the same things is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He goes on, talks about the beef. Then he gets down to number 3. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision. We worship God in spirit. Right? So rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We're called to rejoice. We should have a joyful heart, a joyful smile. It should be, I got to go to a BFF meeting on Thursday night, and I got to spend time with other believers. What a joy that was. What a fantastic time it was. And it was, by the way. It was a lot of fun, right? I got to go to church on Sunday morning. And I got to spend time with other believers. I got to pray for people that were going through things. And I got to see God work in other people's lives through the testimony of what God has done through them. Right? We of all people should be able to rejoice in what God has done. The mark of a Christian shouldn't be, oh, brother. It should be, wow. Did you see what I got to do? Did you see what God did in our life? Did you see what God done, right? Some of you are going, oh, I was here last Sunday. Yeah, you were. Praise the Lord, you made it back. Right? You're here again. That should be something we excite. We take life for granted. You know, there's a lot of people this morning that didn't make it back on a Sunday morning. You know, their lives ended through the week. Or they're out traveling somewhere for somebody that they love that passed away during the week. Or they've had consequences of something they did or whatever. The fact that you're here this morning and you were here last week should give us reason to rejoice. Because we're not guaranteed that from week to week, right? We're here. I get to see you. You have to see me because I'm standing up front. Right? It gives us reason to rejoice. It is a choice. It's not dependent upon my circumstance in life necessarily. I can rejoice in Christ even in the hardness of times. I can rejoice in what God has done. I can rejoice in the things that He has said in His Word, despite what might be done. Okay? All of those things. My rejoicing in the Lord is because He's God. Simply, we were reminded this morning of what He did on the cross for us, what He gave His life for. It's so that we could rejoice. Okay? We have an eternal home that He went to the cross in order to give us by just simply going, Lord, I trust you. Wow. Does that bring excitement to you? Does that bring joy to our face? Let it show. Show the world when you're walking. Okay? Remember, Paul is writing from a cold, damp prison, facing the possibility of death. And he says, yeah, even in this, I can rejoice. One pastor wrote in a sermon I was reading online, he wrote this. He said, having trials and struggles should not be reasons to start feeling sorry for oneself, being ready to throw in the towel on the church, on God, and on life itself. Right? If we think about what we believe, If we really hold fast to those things that we believe, you know, we speak all the time of God's, He's the one in control, right? His sovereignty. Oh, He knows what's going on in my world. He knows what's going on. And then something negative happens to us and we go, I don't think God knew what was going on. Oh, the sovereignty of God goes out the window just that fast. Like, really? Did He not know? Has He not prepared me to handle what comes along? I can be grateful. I can rejoice. Okay, Lord, I don't know what this trial is going to mean, but it's going to be exciting. Right? I thank the Lord that you bring this trial to me because you're going to use it in my life for some purpose, some way, somehow. Rejoicing in the Lord. We can rejoice because our hope is centered on Christ, knowing He loves us and He is still on the throne. And my life is hidden and held safely in His hands. Therefore, I have no reason to fear. I can rejoice. Psalms 5, 11 and 12 says this, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. And let all those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Okay? Go back and read some Psalms when you get sad-faced. Go and be encouraged by the words of David or whoever else wrote them, Solomon, the many writers of Psalms. Go back and read them and watch God lighten that load on your head to give you a joy. Bring it back to you. Your first mark should be rejoicing in the Lord. People, that should be the, here we go. I know you're different. I know you have the Lord because I can see it on your face. What a wonderful thing to do. The second mark is to be alert, right? He says, beware. Beware. We can't just walk around going, right? So he balances it out, right? There's the smile, there's the joyfulness we should have, but it's balanced with an obligation to be attentive, to be careful out there as well, because the world is out to damage the church. It's out to damage the name of Christ. By the way, it's never to damage us necessarily in ourselves. Satan is, yeah, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but he really wants to kill, steal, and destroy what God is doing. He wants to kill what the Lord is up to, right? And sometimes we're just the target, right? Beware of what is false in. We have to know. We have to be in God's word, right? Paul reminds them in 1b, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. And then he says, but we are the circumstance, we worship God in spirit, reminding us who we are, but to beware of the dangers out there. He isn't speaking of their physical safety in itself, but he's really speaking of their spiritual safety. Right? That which matters the most is where your heart is at. Right? Speaking of their spiritual safety, not wanting them to fall, to be tricked, to be deceived by heresy or false teaching. Why is reading and rereading the Bible important? You know, Rich got up this morning and said, Philippians 2, I'm not stealing your thunder, right? I'm like, go ahead, steal my thunder, right? You can never read or reread the Bible enough, because every time you come to it, it teaches you something new. It teaches you more. It helps you to grow, and it makes you strong, right? One of the things in our church, when we got to Red Cloud, we started up the K through 6th grade classes again. And when we were starting those up, I redid them, and we were starting them back up. One of the things that I really wanted to focus on was the stories that we all grew up with, right? So oftentimes we grow up and we think, oh, how many times do you have to hear David and Goliath? Really, we know that story. I grew up that since I was little. There's nothing new in the story of David and Goliath. Why are we repeating it? Because it's in God's word. And there are things to learn from David and Goliath that I've known for 40, 50 years that I'm still learning from. Things that fascinate you. And just the reminder, right? Just being reminded of the fact that with a sling and a stone, God did a miraculous thing in saving the Israelites. Think of that. One stone, one courageous young man that was willing to take a step out and go, you're not coming against me, but you're going against the Lord. Whap! You shouldn't do that. And down he fell, right? And great victory was achieved. See, we need to understand the value of what is true. And rereading the Bible is important. It provides safety. It provides safety to our faith, right? Because the false doctrines, the bewares of them, are telling you, that's not true. That's not true. Or they're twisting it, right? They're twisting it. And we need to know what it is. I do a reading plan. I've done it for, a lot of years now. I'm at our church in Red Cloud, and I still do it because I got people that follow me on Facebook. So it's on my Facebook page if you ever want it. But it reads through the Bible in a year's time. And for one, I like posting it because I know people are reading it, but it also keeps me accountable to reading God's word every day. I'm a slow reader, and generally most readings take me a half hour to read. It's not deep study. There's a time for study, but there's also time for just input. And the reading plan, I always say, is just an input time. It's just putting in God's word into your mind and then letting God use that in other study time at other points in time. So you're welcome to get on there and use that anytime you want. It's there. Psalms 119, 114 says, you are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Right? Beware of what is false. Right? And so that's the basis of this thing. But he also breaks it down. Then he says, beware of the dogs. Right? No, it's not the critter. Right? It's not the barking, yapping thing that comes out of when you go for a walk. and that little four-legged thing runs out to meet you, and you're not sure if it's going to destroy you or not. He's not talking about the actual critter, but do you know in our spiritual walk, the little critters come out, and they nip at you, and they want to bite you. He's really referring to Jewish leaders and false teachers. Paul is using the language of Isaiah, found in Isaiah 56, 10, 11. It says this, his watchmen are blind, right? These are the leaders that were supposed to be there for Israel. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are our greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the dogs. They're in pulpits on Sundays. Just to be, they're there. There are people that don't want to do the work of study. Don't want to really teach what God is saying. They would rather tickle your ears and let you grow through tickling. What do you want me to say today? Could you guys all fill out a form and send me what you want me to talk to next week, and I'll try to make it pleasing to you. Right? Beware when you're sitting in the pews. I love people that will come up to me after a service if I've said something dumb. And go, you said something dumb. Right? I am never offended by that because I think they're paying attention. And that's what I want my people to do. I want them to be attentive to what God is speaking through his word. We're human beings. We make mistakes. It's okay. I need to be reminded that you made a mistake. Right? It's good. But so many people, they're just greedy dogs, as Isaiah said. They're dumb dogs. They can't bark. Think of a dog that doesn't bark. Right? Run to the door. Run back. Sit down. Right? Or maybe the lazy dog that doesn't even run to the door. You know, somebody's up the steps and they're just... Right? But they're there at supper time. Right? They can never have enough. Feed me more. I'm sitting underneath the table. Keep dropping the scraps. Come on. Right? The dogs. Beware of the dogs, the greedy dogs. Never have enough. I need more. Just keep paying me. Right? Just keep paying me. I'll tell you what you want to hear. Oh, yeah, my salary's up for a review. What do you really want to hear? Ah, that worked. Got another raise. This is good. The greedy dogs that don't care other than just to keep themselves happy and get the petting. Okay? All dogs like to be petted, scratched behind the ears. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Those who spread a destructive gospel, trying to weaken the effectiveness of the true gospel by watering it down. It's very similar. Right? Beware of them. Not all people are after the things of God. Some people are just there to tear it apart. I always warned our people in our church, our deacons and leaders of our church, their job was to be the gatekeepers, to have their ears open because these evil workers sneak in. And they sit in your church. And they listen with a smile. They're smiling, then they have supper with you and they start twisting things, and pretty soon you have a destruction going on within the body of Christ because they're there to do evil and to destroy. Be careful of the evil workers. It says, be careful of the mutilation, right? These are the legalistic people, you know? Oh, you came to Christ, but I don't know if you really have, because you didn't really do whatever it might be. Right? You didn't become a member of our church. Are you really saved? Right? to be saved in this church, you got to become a member, right? It's all those kinds of things. They want to subvert our freedom in Christ. The work of Christ alone. It has to be reminded to us all the time. Oh, we work it out. We have to work out our salvation. But that's after the fact. Right? The salvation comes because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. If somebody ever asks you, how do you know you're going to heaven? Your simple answer should be, because I placed my faith in the work of Christ Jesus on the cross and what he has done. And you should say that just as fast as they ask, because it should be that real to you. Now, I know I'm saved because I know what Jesus did for me. We talked in Sunday school this morning, the idea of just the simple testimony that we have. We don't have to know all the Bible today. But I know what Jesus did for me. Try to dispute that with somebody. Right? If you know what Jesus did for you, nobody's going to win that argument. Right? That's the argument. Be careful. Because there are people out there that say, oh, well, maybe it's Jesus plus. Maybe there's other things you can do. Maybe it's Jesus plus baptism. Maybe it's Jesus plus membership. Other important traditional things that we build up in our church that sometimes become salvational, almost salvational issues within a church. Be careful. Be careful. Beware of them, he says. The third mark then is to know to whom we belong. Right? So we're to rejoice. We're to beware of the faults. But we need to know whose we are, right? We need to know that we are the circumcision, not the circumcision of flesh, but the circumcision of the heart, right? We are the circumcision, right? Rejoice in Christ, verse 3. Have no confidence, says. Let me go. Maybe it's number 2. Sorry. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are, number 3, are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We are who? We are the circumcision. Those that have been circumcised. The circumcision was really just a way of setting people apart. That's really what it amounted to. The people of Israel was a mark in their flesh that they could look and be reminded that, oh, I'm an Israelite. This is my heritage. God uses that and says, now your heart. Know who you are. You have a circumcision of heart. Look in your heart. Oh, I am a faith by Christ. I believe in him. I'm a Christian. That should mark us. That should be something that we own and we live for. Romans 2, 28 and 29 says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that is which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So it's about the heart that God is looking at. And we need to remind ourselves. How many of you have to be reminded once in a while that you belong to Christ? We all do. We need to remind ourselves to whom we belong, because the world's out there going, you're kind of a loser a lot of times. You're kind of nothing. Oh, no. Not me. I'm a child of God. Christ is my leader. I'm good. I may be a jerk in your eyes, but you know who I am? In Christ, I am his child. I have my flaws. I'm not saying I don't have flaws, but I know who I am, and I'm working on the flaws. Right? Paul writes, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Right? All the things I have do not define me. All the things that I was. Look at what Paul, you know. The eighth day, the stock of Israel, he was everything in the Hebrews. He was a great Israelite leader. He was a great Pharisee. Right? If we as Christians could get on fire the way Paul was about the Pharisaical when he was a Pharisee, if we could take that fire and as Paul did and then ignite it for the things of Christ, you'd be dynamic out there. He was that on fire for the things that he believed. We lose track of that and we forget who we are in Christ. We don't have to be ashamed. We have a message. People don't like it. That's okay. The message is still there. Live with it. It's a salvation for people. Right? Knowing Christ is understanding that though I may lose all that the world would have, believe is important. You know, I may lose riches. I may lose fame, position, relationships. But you know what I gain? I gained Christ, and I gained Him, and understanding that as well. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not wise men glory in his wisdom, let not mighty man glory in his might, nor let rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." So where do we delight in? And do we understand we belong to Christ? I think I skipped down, but that's all right. Fourth one was count all things for joy or for loss, right? Nothing like getting lost in your notes. We get count all things. So it goes along. Belonging to Christ, counting all things for loss. It's all tied together. The final mark that I want to leave with you today is knowing your righteousness is only found in Christ. Okay? Now you can put on the fakeness of Christ. You know, most of us, I don't know most of us, I don't know a lot of where your faith journey has started or began. For me, I've been following the Lord since I was 8 years old. I'm 60. That puts 52 years on me, right? I know how to be a Christian. I've been taught how to be a Christian. I know the things that I'm supposed to do. I know the way that I'm supposed to walk, right? Doesn't matter much if I'm walking that in my own righteousness. Just being the nice guy that I'm supposed to be. That's really self-righteousness in Christ. But it's understanding that, no, I'm still kind of a loser. Okay? In my flesh, I'm nothing more than a failure because I don't know. I know how to do things. I know how to walk with the Lord. I know how to walk in this way or that way. I can do all that and I could still be a loser. What makes the difference is Christ in my life. It's the knowing my righteousness is found only in Christ Jesus. And so is yours. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all like unclean things. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Right? All our righteousness are like filthy rags. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." See, I can know all the rules. I can know all the regulations of Christianity. I've been in it 52 years. That isn't what righteousness is about. It's by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit within me. That's what made me right before God. That's what's made me stand in the righteousness of our Christ, of our Lord. It's His work, and my faith in His work, and Him coming to dwell in me. What a wonderful thing. We are secure in Christ by faith, We know him. He comes to live with us. We know the power of his resurrection. Right? Do you ever think about that? Do you understand that one day you're going to die? If the Lord don't come back, one day you're going to die. What happens then? Do you understand the power of his resurrection? It means I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to pass from this land to the next. And then one day he's going to come back and he's going to take this broken down old body and he's going to say, I'll make it new. And I'm going to rejoin it in a new heavenly body to be with you forever and never, 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 and so on. Right? What a wonderful promise that we have. Do you know that power of his resurrection? Go and read 1 Corinthians 15 sometime. It's a great passage to read and reread and reread and read again. It says this in verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still dead in your sins. Right? All, he goes through this whole monologue and he gets down to verse 17. He says, well, and if Christ hasn't risen, then you're here for absolutely no reason this morning. You might as well be out playing pickleball. Or you might as well be at the lake. You might as well be celebrating a birthday party someplace else. Whatever it may be, right? You might as well be enjoying life wherever you want to go. Because this is useless. This is completely worthless. If Christ hadn't risen. Right? This is might make us nice people. Might be nice to our neighbors. But it's absolutely useless for any type of eternal purposes. But then he goes on in verse 20 and 22 and he says this, but now, I love buts, right? Buts is always the opposite. It's a contrasting word. It gets you to go, uh-oh, what's this? But he says this, but now Christ is risen from the dead and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Do you understand the power of God's resurrection? That's what Paul's talking about here. The power of resurrection. That's what we live for. I believe that one day I'm going to die if the Lord don't come back. Right? I'm praying just like all the rest of you that maybe I won't have to go through that. The Lord will come back before that time, right? Because nobody really wants to experience death. But the fact of the matter is if the Lord don't come back, we all experience death. But what a glory there is in death and knowing that we transfer from this world to the next and there's a resurrection of my body coming back and it's going to be made whole and new and I'm going to be in the glory and the presence of my God for all that. The power of the resurrection. We have to understand that. We also have to understand in this life we share in his sufferings, but we have been conformed into his death. Right? Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? Christ has to be viewed through us. It goes back to our verse, right? Walk worthy. Whether Paul's there, whether Paul's not, walk worthy of the calling that God has given us. Recognizing that it is not me that lives no longer, but Christ that lives in me. What a wonderful thing he's given us the opportunity to do. Secure in Christ by faith brings a resurrection from the dead. And there you have your refreshing course of the marks of a Christian in a quick, maybe not so quick, time frame. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word, to look at it. Lord, you are so good. And you have left us your word to grow by, to continue to be strong in our faith with. And so we ask that you would just continue to implant it into our lives and help us to walk in the ways that you would have us to walk, with the understanding that we walk in your righteousness. And so we thank you for that. In your Son's name, amen.